Good morning, good morning. How's everyone doing today? Thank you for moving to the middle. I appreciate it. There is no money under your chair, though. You were lied to. Appreciate it. Guys, thank you so much for coming out. So glad that you can come. Obviously, I am not Pastor Todd. I am shorter and balder, but far better looking than he is. And so, I got dude holler. All right, we'll pray for that later up here in the front. Just kidding. A little bit. So I'm super excited about being here, guys. I'm the executive pastor and the youth pastor over here at Church of the King. And I know that there's a lot of different places that you can go to. There's actually other good churches out there. But you chose the best church. So I'm so glad that you guys came. It is going to be an amazing service. Wasn't praise and worship good? Like, I like that. I come for the praise and worship. And I like that it's so loud that I can sing as loud as I can. You still can't hear me, so which is good. It's a benefit to everybody when you can't hear me sing. But my wife seems to get over that, though. She sings louder than everybody. If you stand next to my wife, she will sing as loud as she possibly can. And it's amazing. You're good at a lot of things, baby. That's right. We're moving on. You know where you're called to. It's not to sing. So right now, Pastor Todd is going to be preaching at one of our churches that we support. As a church, we really believe in planting churches. I mean, we are, you know, a church plant from Pastor Jacob in Lafayette OSC. He came and he had a vision for Lake Charles, and so he sent Pastor Todd, and that's why we get to be in this amazing place right now. And Pastor Todd has a part of his heart that really just longs to support other churches that just start off and stuff like that. And so the Vintage Church in Harker Heights, Texas, is hosting our pastor, because over this year we have given to them financially and with different resources, and they asked if Pastor Todd could come and to share his heart with them, and so he agreed, and we sent him for a small nominal fee. We sent him away, and so, just kidding, but we're very glad that he gets to do that, and we love our pastor, Miss Lisa and Pastor Todd. They do an amazing job, and it's hard to be, like, the senior pastor. Like, you have to, like, Wednesday you have to preach, and Sunday you got to preach twice, and then people call you through. It's not a easy job, and so I just respect him immensely. He does a very great job of doing it, and we're very blessed to have him in as our leader. Today we're going to talk on what he's been talking about. He's been talking about the least of these for the last couple weeks now, and how God uses the least of the people around us to do the greatest things in the world through God. And so, but before I get started, I'm going to pray, or else I'm going to ramble on forever. So let's get the Holy Spirit involved with this. Father, I thank you. I thank you that across the world and across this nation that people are going to church, that you have called and set aside many different people, pastors, evangelists, and preachers, to come and to stand behind a pulpit and to preach and deliver the word of God. Lord, I ask that you be with every single person that stands behind a pulpit, whether it be here in this church or churches across the world. Speak the gospel of Jesus Christ. Light the fire of revolution all over the world. God, do miracles and signs and wonders in your church. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity that I have to speak. I'm humbled. Lord, it's not because of my abilities by any means. You know my shortcomings. But use me anyway. In spite of myself, may be led by the Holy Spirit. May everything that I say be from you. And anything that I would say that is not from you, I ask that you just make it not come out, God. May I speak your word and speak it clearly. Also, if the Broncos could lose today, God, I would appreciate that, as well as Green Bay to the mighty Buffalo Bills, so that the Patriots can be number one. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I know that you guys are all Saints fans, and I understand that. It's just not your year. The Patriots will win the Super Bowl this year, as they have for five other years. So it's going to be an amazing... God is a Patriots fan, and you cannot tell me different. So I'm super excited to be here. Guys, just so that you know, last week we kind of like petitioned you guys and asked you guys to give towards a cause, towards... what is it called? I am loved. I'm sorry, I totally forgot. I'm loved. And over the course of three services, we kind of got together and we said, we're going to raise money so that we can support 10 houses. And what we do with these houses is we give them Christmas meal and we give them gifts. So these are people, I am loved touches people that nobody else is touching. These are the women that and men that walk the streets that you guys usually don't see, that nobody's talking to or no one's paying attention to. And if they're paying attention to them, it's probably for the wrong reason. And so what I Am Love does is they have a whole bunch of women that come together and they go out and they go find these people and they minister to them. They love on them. They give them, like, you'd be, some of the stories I hear, it's just heartbreaking, the things that they go through and what the little tiny things mean to them. Just like a little sanitary bag, like a little thing with just like some things. It means the world to them because they don't have it. Well, I Am Loved is dedicated to doing that. And this Christmas, they came to us as a church and they said, hey, would you be willing to sponsor some houses? And we said, yeah, we're sponsoring 10 houses. And you have three services to get those 10 houses sponsored. It was $150 a house. That gets them everything, the toys and the food and everything like that. And so you guys were so amazing that in one service alone, one service, we sponsored 17 houses. 17 houses. That's amazing. It's amazing. So now we have met the quota. They have other churches that have linked together with us. We have 28 houses or so that are sponsored totally for Christmas. Totally for Christmas. But now we have one more ask of you. If you go out to that table right now, there are some sheets of paper with some pens next to it. Because it's one thing to give your money, but it's another thing to give your time. Because time is the most valuable thing to us because you can't get that back. On Tuesday at 6 o'clock in the evening, we're going to be filling these boxes and preparing these boxes for the houses, putting the different ingredients for the meals in there, getting the gifts together, wrapping some stuff, putting some love on it. At 6 o'clock right here at this church, we ask if you have time in your schedule to come out and help us fill those boxes and pray over them and get them ready. And the second time that we're going to ask you is on Saturday at 9 o'clock in the morning. We leave from this church to go to those houses and drop that stuff off. Now, I don't know how long it's going to take to get there and get back and do all these things, but if you have a block of time set aside on a Saturday morning, I ask that you put your name on that piece of paper and say, you know what, I can commit. Bring your family. Bring your kids. Let them see this. Let them be a part of it. Look, they've all been vetted. They're safe places. We're not going to put you on the street with these people. They're going to their house. They know that you're coming. We just need Christians to smile and show that, hey, guess what? We give more than just the money and the food. We've given our time. Can we pray with you? And so if that's on your heart to do something like that, just go and visit those tables. Put your name down. Put a contact number and the time, whether it be Tuesday or Saturday, that you're being able to, willing to come out and help us out. Okay? I'm Loved is one of the many things that we do here at this church. If you didn't know, at the end of the year, we're going to give you guys a financial report. You guys will get to see like what we do and stuff like that. It's been a great year for this church. We moved into this building from that little tiny room that we now call the youth room. By the way, we had our youth party last night in there. I am too old to be a youth pastor. And I'm not even old. And I'm too old to be a youth pastor. Things that are cool are not cool anymore. But it was a lot of fun. We were there till 11 o'clock at night, building gingerbread houses and having rap battles. And I should never be the one that judges a rap battle or participates in a rap battle. But we had some talented people and there were some winners. But anyway, so it's been a great year for us. And we give 10% of everything that comes in. We tithe as a church to different organizations and ministries, both foreign and local. We give a lot. We do. We are a very generous church. It's amazing. God has blessed us because we're such a generous church. One of the things that we give to, and this is kind of what I want to talk about today, is we give to a place called ABC, Crisis Pregnancy Center, and Lifehouse. Lighthouse. Thank God Rhonda's here. Lighthouse Ministries. And what happens is they deal with the single moms, single women that get pregnant. And they deal with the hard decisions that these people go through. Right now at Lighthouse, there's three girls. Am I right in saying this? There's three girls that are there. And when I heard the stories behind them, they're like 15 and 13 years old. Pregnant. In Reeves. And the stories behind it is so heartbreaking, but we give because these people are giving them hope. They're encouraging them. They're saying, this isn't the end of your life. This is the beginning of something amazing. They give them a home and a house when nobody else would be there for them. they give them options and different things. When people say this is the only option, they give them another option. And it's so cool that we get to be a part of that, that you get to be a part of that. The money that you give goes to those places like that. Because we need them in our society, in our community. We need places like that. Because without places that give people hope, then we're just going to be hopeless. And when you hit that situation in your life, you're going to make the wrong choices. I think of my wife, who is absolutely amazing. Love my wife. She's so much smarter than I am. She does so much. Thank you for everything that you do. She works all day, takes care of me and my two children, comes and sits in the front row as a youth pastor's wife. She gets the whole party together, stays up forever. She doesn't feel well this morning. She's sitting there. Anyway, and thank you so much for your support. Couldn't do this without you. You give her a hand clap. I love my wife. If you haven't met her, she's amazing. Absolutely amazing. And I think about my wife, and when she was 17, she found herself in high school and pregnant. Christian girl. This girl's a good family. Good church. Bad choice. But there was a ministry that came in and swooped in and picked her up and let her know, hey, you know what? People have told you that this is your option. Usually when you get pregnant as a teenager, these are what your options are. But they said, your options are limitless. Let us help you and support you. Let us give you the resources that you need. And they loved her all the way through the pregnancy when she gave birth to two twin girls that went to adoption and have an amazing family. But without ministries like that, stories like that can't happen. Without ministries like ABC and out ministries like Lighthouse, these stories can't happen. And so when I think of the least of these and how I can tie this in, I think of the story of Mary. Mary. And how she was faced with kind of the same situation. Because, you know, everything that happens in the physical, there is a spiritual component to it. And I think we all can relate to this because you might not have to be the same choices that Tanya or some of these other girls make. But I think when you're impregnated with the plan and purpose of God, when God literally speaks to you, comes up and tells you, hey, this is what you're supposed to be doing. A lot of times when we hear that, we have the same kind of choice to make. We can either grow this dream inside of us, this passion and this vision that God has seeded inside of us, or we can abort it. And so Mary's faced with this very real situation where she has a chance to do one of two things. And so I want to read to you the story of Mary. And as we go through it, I'm going to do this a little bit different than I did first service, so try to bear with me. If everything doesn't come up here like the way it should, don't judge them. By the way, side note, that smudge has bothered me this whole time. That little black dot on those things, the whole series. I'm like, who did that? Smudge. Anyway, moving on. Okay. So this is from the book of Luke, and it is also from the book of Matthew. I'm going to kind of read it. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And the virgin's name was? Okay, is it up there? Yeah, the virgin's name was? Good job, guys. Thanks for participating today. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Hey, that's a good thing. If an angel shows up, you want him to say that stuff to you. You want him to say good things like that. You want him to show up and be like, hey, by the way, I'm here to smite you. You don't want that angel, this flaming sword angel. So this is a good angel. Greetings. You're highly favored, and the Lord is with you. But let's look at Mary's response. Mary was greatly troubled. She was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Look, when confronted with what God has for you at first, when confronted with what God is going to do in your life, when confronted by God himself, the first thing that hits us, the first reason why we can't even comprehend what God's telling us to do is because we don't feel like we're worthy. Mary right here doesn't feel like she's worthy. She's like, hold up, what are you doing here? angel of the Lord? I'm greatly troubled. Like, this is absolutely out of nowhere. How are you even here right now? And the same thing happens to us. When God confronts you with his plan and purpose for you, the first thing we think of immediately is like, what, is this real life? I'm greatly troubled. I'm not worthy of this. I'm not worthy of this. I can't do this. And God seemingly, he always comes out of like left field, like out of nowhere with something. He gives it to you. And you're like, man, I'm not worthy. But what the angel says to her is God's answer to us. But the angel said, I don't know if all this is going to work out up here. Just listen to me. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. So many times the very first thing that we think of is we're not worthy. And God's immediate response to us is you found favor. You are worthy of what I'm about to tell you. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, this is God speaking, know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans that are good and not evil. Plans that will give you a future and a hope. God has plans for you. And they're good plans for you. And guess what? He did not send his son, Jesus Christ, to come and be born on this earth to live and to die a miserable death. Sacrifice his son to die that you might be saved. And he hates you. And he doesn't think anything of you. He didn't do all of this. He didn't give his most precious son for you because you're worthless and because you have no value to him. He gave him to you because he loves you and he cherishes you. You're worthy to him. You're worthy to God. You don't have to worry about not being good enough because he loves you anyway. When confronted with what God has for you in your life, when God has impregnated you with a vision and a dream, and you know what that vision and dream is. The past time, I don't know. It's that thing that you've been thinking about. When you lay your head down at night, it's the thing that keeps on coming up in your dreams. The thing that keeps on resonating in your heart. It's the thing that you say, if I could do one thing for God and nothing else mattered, this is what I would do. That's the God dream. Because God dreams need supernatural things to happen or for them to be successful. And as soon as you hear something that is supernaturally awesome, the very first thing your mind thinks is, I'm not worthy. But God tells us that we are worthy. You're good enough for this. He has a plan for you, and in the plan, it includes you. He's never going to be like, I have a plan for you. It's going to be a good plan. You're going to have to sit over here, not touch it, stay away from it. It's going to all happen. No, you're the integral part of it. God doesn't use things that don't have value. He uses you. He needs you. He loves you. That's why I love that song. He's so good to us. That song was just for me. I don't know. Maybe not the story about Tootsie Roll Jesus, but like the other part, that was just for me. In my house, that wouldn't have flown. If Jesus is like able to be taken out of the manger, gone. No Savior in our house. He's out of there. We have a very secure Jesus. He's in there. He doesn't come out of the manger. Anyway, side note. I'm going to move my notes around. Talk amongst yourselves while I do this. Okay, good. So you're worthy. You don't have to abort the plans that God has for you because you're worthy. The story goes on. I'm going to switch over to Joseph a little bit here because this is where the next point lies. So Joseph finds his wife pregnant. It says, and she's pregnant by the Holy Spirit or through the Holy Spirit. I don't know how that conversation panned out with Joseph and Mary. Like, hey, babe, I'm home. Hey, you looking a little, what's going on with, had a big lamb dinner? Like, what's going on? Like, oh, no, I'm kind of pregnant. Every guy likes to hear that his fiance is pregnant. Oh, amazing. Sweet. No, she's probably like, what? What's his name? Let me get my staff and my whatever else, slingshot. I don't know what they had back then. Let me go find him. I'm going to staff him and slingshot him to death. And then she's like, by the way, this is all unbiblical. This is all the message. This is all the message. And then to say like, oh, by the way, there's not a guy. You're welcome. It's kind of like God's baby, the Holy Spirit. I don't know how you pray, but when I pray, none of that happens. Awkward conversation to have, Mary and Joseph. I could be a fly on the wall. So they have this conversation, and then, so Joseph, this is what Joseph, so because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So he is laying in bed, and he's just thinking like, oh my gosh, I got the crazy one. I got the one that's pregnant with God. Oh gosh. I knew I should have married Elizabeth. She was older, but less crazy. And he's laying in bed. He's like, you know, I love her. Like, she's a great girl. Crazy is a bad, but I love her. And I know what I should do. I know what the law says to do. By the way, the law says that you should need to go and stone this person. I know what the law says I should do, but I love her. I'm not going to do that. So I'm not going to open her up to what other people have to say about her. I'm just going to divorce her quietly and let her go on with her life. It says, but after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. This angel's busy. This angel's everywhere. Appears to him in a dream. That's the kind of angel I want, dream angels. I don't want physical angels in front of me. That'll scare me a lot. Like you're just cooking your tortillas and angel. Nuh-uh. Nope, I got to be sleeping, sedated. Sedated angel. I need that kind of angel. Don't just pop up. Whoa, what? Anyway. I don't think I intimidate any angels. I don't know what that was about. Angels like, what? Anyway. All right. So, an angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary into your house as your wife because of what she has conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So the angel comes and validates crazy Mary. Like, says, don't worry, she's not crazy. It really is God. One reason why we always abort the promises and plans that God has for us is because we're so afraid to expose it to other people. We're afraid to expose to other people. Why are we afraid to expose our promises and our plan that God has for us to other people? Because people will think you're crazy. We live in a cynical world. I am from New York. I'm the king of cynical. Oh, my wife amen me. To the back. We live in a cynical world. And as soon as you tell them something that seems impossible, they want to know the reason behind all this stuff. Oh, that can't be from God. That doesn't even make sense. That's not even biblical. Look, baby from Holy Spirit inside your wife. I mean, I'm sure that's hard to find in the Bible. And when you tell people your dreams and your visions and you start saying, hey, this is what God wants me to do. God has called me to do something great and awesome and amazing. This is what it is. The first thing they're going to say is, that is impossible. You're stupid. You're crazy. They start tearing it apart. Hey, that'd be a good idea if you just do this, this, and that with that. They start adding their own amendments into this. They start to alter the original vision and the original dream so it fits in better to society and fits in better to your life and fits in better everything. Like, oh yeah, good, you got a good outline, but you know, if you just add these different things, that will make it more effective. No, God has given you the original vision and dream, not to add things onto it. I always tell people the most destructive thing that you can do with an idea is ask them what they think about it. Because they're going to tell you. And if the idea that you're telling somebody is a God idea, man, people will devalue you so quickly. A lot of them Christian people. A lot of people are like, well, that's good. You go do that. And then as soon as you leave, they're like, oh, my gosh, you hear what Tanya was going to do? So we're so afraid to expose it to people. But we don't realize this is what the angel goes on to tell Joseph. He says, she'll give birth to a son. And you'll give him the name of Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The very thing that God has given you, has put inside of you, that you're afraid to expose to people, because you're afraid they're going to tear it up, is the very thing that's going to save them. It's the very thing that they need in their life. It's the very thing. We're so afraid to expose our plans and our purposes that God has seeded inside of us to people because we think we're going to tear it apart. But it's for these people. Eventually, they're going to find out. There's no reason to hide what God has put inside of you. I know for a lot of years you can think about like just pressing them down and not telling people and like just kind of keeping a journal. How many people keep journals in here, by the way? Raise your hand if you keep journals. Good, it's all women. I remember when I was in TBI at Texas Bible Institute, like I had a room and there was I was over a room that one of these guys had a journal. So I started reading his journal. By the way, reading dude journal is crazy. A lot of drawings. And as I was reading it, there were some really amazing things in there. And I said, Sean, why would you never tell anyone this stuff? This is great. He said, I don't think anyone would listen to me. These are all awesome things. I don't think anyone would want to do these things. So many times, all we do is we live in a journal. We live in this dream state where, like, because nobody can hurt us if we don't tell them about it. Dear journal, do these amazing messages, amazing sermons, and amazing dreams and visions and all these different things. But you just keep in that journal. It never leaves that dream state, that journal state, because we're so afraid that no one's, man, they're going to tear it apart. I'm telling you, the very thing that you're hiding from people is the very thing that they need. The very thing that you're afraid that they're going to destroy is the very thing that's going to bring them to salvation. And so as we go on in the story, we go back to Mary really quickly. Pastor Josh, you can get ready. We're going to wrap up quickly. Pastor Josh is in here, so whenever he gets in here, he'll make me sound more spiritual by playing those things. We go back to Mary, and it says that the angel told her that you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus, and that he'll be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him a throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. That's amazing. I love that. And the Mary's response is this: how will this be? How will this be? Since I am still a virgin. If you go back and you look at the different ways that, you know, the Greeks put that together, what she's basically saying is, this is impossible. Not only is it impossible, it is impossible. I'm going to fail at this. What you have given me will surely fail, because I'm a virgin. You're telling me I'm going to have a kid, but I'm telling you, I am going to fail. This will not be successful, because I'm a virgin. Not only do we abort things because we don't think we're worthy of them, not only do we abort things because we don't want to expose them to other people, but we abort things because we're afraid that we're going to fail. We're afraid we're going to fail. The biggest monster inside of your head is telling you, man, you're going to fail at this. I'm going to tell you a story about myself. A lot of you have heard this story. I'm just going to say it again. I'm adopted. And the mom that birthed me, when she got pregnant, now I wasn't there, and this is all hypothetical, but this is me thinking in my head of like the conversation. She had to have had different things that she could have done. I mean, she was, look, I got a piece of paper when I turned 18 that said, this is who your mom is, and this is who your dad is. So this is all my mom's information here. And for dad, it's like N-A-N-A-N-A, no dad involved. Hughes is short and extremely attractive, apparently. I need to get an amen for that one. So there's no dad really involved, but there was all these things about my mom. So imagine that she was a single mom, and as being a single mom, and, you know, she is faced with a lot of different decisions that she had to make. And she chose to keep me. She kept the baby. But over the course of, I don't know how long it was, but it was found that she was very unfit to have a child. The state came in and they took me away from her, put me into a foster home where I was adopted. And I think at that moment of time when she came home to the state, taking her baby away from her, she's like, man, I failed. I made the wrong choice. This would be so much easier if the choice that I made in the beginning was the right choice. Obviously, this was the wrong choice. Man, I'm such a failure. Never meant to be a mom. I just tore her up. But when you take that moment and you fast forward it 33 years, I stand on a stage before you today proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. I could tell you that that woman's decision was not a failure. Even though in the moment all she could think of is, I have failed miserably. How could this even be successful? I'm her inheritance. When God seeds a plan and a vision deep inside your spirit, of course there's going to be moments when you think, man, I'm going to fail. There might even be times in your life when you look around you and you say, I have failed. How could I do what God has wanted me to do? I am such a failure. I'm not even married to the same person anymore. I'm strung out on drugs. My kids are crazy. I am a failure. God, I know that you spoke to me, but I got to get this out of me because I got to abort what you've told me to do because I am a failure. And the very next thing that the angel tells Mary is the very next thing that I'm going to tell you. Mary says, how will this be? I'm still a virgin. And he says, for no word of God ever fails. No word of God ever fails. If God spoke it to you, put it inside of you, it's not going to fail. It can't fail, because if it fails, God fails, and God doesn't fail. See, it's more than just your name on this thing. When you start going around and you start telling people the great things that God put inside of you, and you say, this is what God has told me to do, and every step that you take is for God, and you're moving for God, and all these God things, the second that you put his name on it, it's not about you anymore, it's about God's name, and when it's in God's name, it's never going to fail. He won't let it happen. Even when you look around you and it's really you don't understand how it's going to happen. You don't understand how God can make something out of your life. You're like, you might have started off good, but look, I just can't. God, look, I have failed you, God. God's word never fails. There's so much in you. And right now, as I'm talking, I know that some of you guys are thinking, look, the God things that God puts inside of you doesn't have to be like build a church and be a pastor. I think of this lady, Joanne. I don't even know if she ever, she probably never listened to this or hear it. I was not a very good kid growing up. I was good, kind of. And there's this bus driver named Joanna. The one before her was Bob Coe. He was not nice. Not a nice bus driver. So we were really happy we got Miss Diana. Joanna. Not Diana. Joanna. Not that you know, but it's Joanna. Joanna. I mean, she never yelled. And she could have yelled. She never pulled over and beat any children. She could have. She should have. But every day when we got on the bus, she would say, "Good morning, this is the day the Lord has made. What are you going to do?" And growing up as a kid, I'm like, "I got one finger for you, lady, and I'm walking back this way." I was that kid, by the way. But I look back at the impact that, I mean, I'm still talking about her. She's really made that much of an impact in my life. So your dreams that you have inside of you don't have to be these super spiritual, build a church, lead a church, get on stage. You could be a bus driver for God. You could be anything for God. If it's God birthed inside of you, live it out. And I know some people in here have forgotten about their dream. And you may think that you're past the point of no return, that God's not going to be able to use you, or God's not, he's moved on, he's gone to the next person, and then that person over there is doing what you're supposed to be doing because you failed and God couldn't use you and you messed everything up. That's not true at all. What God has started in you, he is faithful to complete it. It may take a couple years. Look, it may take more than a service, maybe a couple years, but I guarantee you, if you don't lose it, God's going to use it. So I want everyone just to bow their head. We're going to pray out and we're going to be dismissed in a minute. And I'm not going to call anyone up or ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to single you guys out because I know that it speaks to everybody, because everybody has those doubts and those fears inside of them. But I want you just to take a moment and I want you to think about the God given God-purposed idea, thought, program that lives inside of you. Just think about it. No one talking, no one looking around. Just think about it. For some of you, this is the first time you've thought about this in a very, very long time. You've kind of just thought God wouldn't use you anymore. Just think about it. Some of you might be a camp for underprivileged kids, or a home for sex trafficked women, maybe adopting a child. Just think about your God dream. Think about what it is. Father God, we love you and we praise you and we give you all the glory and all the honor. Lord, you're so righteous and so awesome. Lord, I know by the Holy Spirit that in this room has been seeded some great and mighty things for your kingdom and for your purpose. Things that have been forgotten and things that have been put aside and things that have been lost. Lord, I ask that by the Holy Spirit you bring those up to their memory. Bring that up in their heart. Bring that forward in their spirit. Remind them of the things that you promised them so long ago. That you impregnated them so long ago. And over the course, Father God, of the next few weeks and the next few years, God, do not let these people forget this. Torture them with the passion and promise and the plan that you have for them. Move them where they need to be. Put them where they need to be. Link them with the people they need to be linked with to execute the things that you have. Lord, we promise as a people and as a church to be faithful to the things that you put inside of us. Lord, we might not know how to do it, why we're doing it, or if it's even possible, but we know that your word's never going to fail. Your word's never going to fail. In Jesus' name, we all said amen. Y'all can stand up and just stand up. We're about to be dismissed, but y'all just look at me really quickly. You guys, there's some really awesome things out there. Some really great dreams and God purposes. And we need you to do them. And this world is dying quicker every day. It's wrapping up. And there's people that need the thing that lives inside of you more than you do. The plan, the vision, the purpose. They need that. Promise me that you're going to do something with it. Get it out of the journal. Put it in the field. Y'all start doing some stuff. Purpose for 2015. You're going to accomplish some of these things. You're going to do some of these things. Y'all, I love y'all. This is a great church. A great church. A great atmosphere. I remember I was telling, when Wednesday I spoke and the last service, like, I remember like being over there in that room with like, none of these lights. We like 40-watt light bulbs and stuff, you know. And look what God has done for us in 1 year. Look where we've come from. And it's not about a person, but it's about the vision that God's just developing in this area and stuff like that. So thank y'all for coming out. I really do appreciate it. Y'all enjoy the rest of your week. And do Saints even play? Oh, I'm sorry about that, guys. All right, y'all have a good new week. Bye, guys.